Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Neil Coulong in a few moments. We'll talk about the Steelers and the NFL draft and other NFL news. Donnie Collins, Grand Times Tribune on Penn State football final half hour. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. A slice of San Diego Padres history last night.
0-2 pitch is hit out to left center field, and that one's going to find the gap in left center field. Myers, a triple shy of the cycle, is heading for second. Myers is taking the turn around second. Myers is going to third. He's going to make it! Matt Kemp, August 15th, 2015. Will Myers, April 10th, 2017. Coors Field, both times, the second cycle in Padre history.
That's two. There you go. I mean, the Padres only began in 1969. Wait a minute. That was a while ago. Yes. But they're coming up on what? The Padres are coming up on what, 50 years in 2 years? Were they 48 years old now? Wow. Amazing. All right. Neil Coulong. Let's bring him in now. Because Sean has a lot of questions about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there are now, this is the time of the year, Neil, where rumors run rampant. It's the draft coming up. And so the latest rumor is the Steelers might be interested in Texas Tech quarterback Pat Mahomes in the second round. What do you think?
I could see a lot of teams wanting him in the second round. I'm not sure if he'll get that far. I mean, really, we'll find out what the recheck on his wrist is going to be, but he looks to me like a first-round pick, and that I don't think that's something the Steelers would be interested in, simply because of the investment that they have to put in. Costs a lot to get a quarterback at that point in his fifth year for one that's not going to play for probably the better part of those first four seasons. It seems like kind of a wasted investment to me. We talked about this previously, too. I think if the Steelers are seriously looking at the end of the Roethlisberger era within the next three seasons, I think they'd probably be better off looking for a veteran to kind of transition them into a rookie to get at whatever point they would. I don't think that time is now. I think for a team that's on the cusp of a Super Bowl, I think they can get a lot more value a lot of other places across their roster than trying to stack for a future that, frankly, they're not paying to have right now. I mean, regardless of Roethlisberger's intentions, they owe him a lot of money. They would hit the salary cap pretty quickly if he was to retire or if they were to cut him. So he's a part of their future, at least for the next couple of years. I don't think his replacement needs to be there just yet.
All right, so now let's get to the next part. Because putting together a roster is a puzzle. Who don't you bring back? Who do you want to re-sign? Who do you pick up and what position they happen to be in free agency, which then leads into the draft? So based on the Steelers' body of work to this point on the three previous factors with the draft still on the horizon, how has that shaped the Steeler roster, in your opinion, to then leave open possibilities in the draft?
That's a good question. It's a good way to look at it. I think certain positions, they're going to need guys that can play now. I think that's an edge rusher, but that market is long since closed, barely even has a market anymore. That would be a veteran that they would want to get, and you never know. Coming into the draft, this is the time where workouts come in. They kind of get a look at a guy, see if he's capable of doing the things that they expect him to do. So there still could be some releases out there, a player that might be of some interest to the Steelers. Running back is another position that market is barely even open. It's kind of the opposite of an edge rusher in today's game. There are guys that I think they'd be willing to take a look at if they wanted a legitimate veteran backup to Le'Veon Bell. And D'Angelo Williams is a guy that served that the last 2 years. He's still out there. At the high end, you have a guy like Adrian Peterson. I don't think there's a way in the world they would hide, that anybody would, or the Steelers would sign him. But certainly there are guys out there. I think they would intrigue him. I think that's a veteran position they'd look at. But more than likely, if they want a capable, cheap price backup, it's going to be a guy coming from the draft. And that wouldn't surprise me. They're always linked to rumors, mid-round running backs, like a lot of teams are. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled the trigger on one this season. Other than that, they seem to be a team that signs swing tackles pretty often deep into free agency. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in a guy. Last year was Ryan Harris, and never really worked out for him there, unfortunately. So that might be a guy they want to look to replace. Keep in mind that Jarrell Hawkins, a player they drafted last year and kind of stashed away on the IR pretty quickly into training camp, he might be a good option for him there as well. A veteran tackle makes sense, but I don't think that's a position they would draft either. Other than that, I think their roster is largely set. I'm not sure there's really any difference-making guys that they'll get via free agency. And as far as the draft goes, you draft that far down in the first round, you're really kind of letting it come to you. And from there, really, it's a crapshoot. So they're going to want to address their secondary. I don't think that they're set fully. At least they shouldn't be convinced at this point that they're set at the cornerback position. If there's value there, I think they'll want to take that. Safety is a position I wouldn't be surprised if they want to address as well. So a lot of work for them to do, and I think they're in a really good position to do it. They don't need this class, I don't think, to play as much as they need last year's class. Mm-hmm. So for me, really, the story of the Steelers in 2017 is the impact of their 2016 draft much more than it is the 2017 draft.
About 15 years ago in the second round, the Steelers took Antoine Randle-El. And they were in a position then with a veteran team where they felt if they were able to get a part that could help them win a couple of games, in this case a punt returner and maybe a slot receiver, but really as a punt returner, they drafted him. Well, it turned out there was a payoff for that. They won Super Bowl 40. Are the Steelers in that same spot where they can look at a complementary part and not a full-time player?
I think they can. I think the Antoine Randle-El analogy is a good one, considering you have a guy like John Ross. A lot of people kind of look at different levels of value for him. He's a very versatile receiver. Where he is right now, I think he would fit in very well with the Steelers in the slot, certainly competing with Eli Rogers for snaps at that position, a much more athletic version of Eli Rogers. Perhaps not as savvy a route runner as Rogers is right now, but definitely an option for them, considering they're kind of wide open after Brown at the receiver position in the future. I wouldn't be surprised if really the best player on the board at pick 30 is a receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled the trigger on it just simply because I'm not convinced there are 30 legit first-round prospects in this draft. Well, I think Ross is one of them. Quarterbacks isn't a very good quarterback class, but the quarterbacks are going to go in the first round because teams that need a quarterback are going to take one in the first round. That said, you're going to see guys fall, and I wouldn't be surprised if Ross is one of the types that does. And he'd be a really interesting option for the Steelers immediately for the same reasons that you talked about. I think he can return punts and kicks as well as perhaps get a target or two a game in a very role-playing way. I think that would complement what will be a potent offense in 2017.
James Harrison was a coach at this thing. Pouncey participated in the arm wrestling event in Las Vegas. They've talked about fines when it's all said and done because of what is in the players' agreement. Is there hypocrisy here? And I'm not talking about the fact that the Raiders were voted 31-1 to go to Las Vegas. But once they start playing in Las Vegas, Neil, the opposing team has to stay in a hotel. I mean, they have to. And unless you're going to send them out to Boulder City, the hotel's going to have a casino in it, which it also would be probably designated as the official visiting team hotel. So is there a hypocrisy there when you factor that in based on the players doing this for charity and the fact that the NFL is going to have to be dealing with casinos as hotels to put opposing teams in down the road here?
Well, I think that question is probably best answered after the league can, you know, it finishes whatever investigation they're running. If they actually are going to look to punish the people involved with it in some way, I've heard on both accounts that they're looking into it because they can't not look into it, as well as they're kind of hacked off with it. It's something that they probably shouldn't have done, because it does raise the question. The team moving into Las Vegas, how much of this stuff do you really want to separate yourself from? I mean, you look at rules of ownership. They can't have any ownership of any kind of gambling property at all. That's something that affected the Steelers a few years back. That said, I mean, it's not hard to point out hypocrisy when it comes to the NFL in regards to their policies on many things. And yeah. This is just, you know, in addition to the rest of it. But, let's put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised if they do make them stay at a hotel without a casino. And, you know, if that's the league or if that's the team wanting them to stay away from a casino, it's really interesting. I'm really curious from a marketing perspective what Vegas NFL is really going to look like in a couple years. With the amount of change the league has gone under, I think this is just another kind of bizarre step that will make the game from, you know, 15, 20 years ago look completely foreign compared to today.
Even the Motel 6 has slot machines.
Airport too. What are they going to do?
I mean, you walk in McCarran. McCarran's got slot machines.
Harrison picked up his next line by dropping in a dollar into a slot machine, walking out of the baggage claim.
Exactly. I mean, on the way to baggage claim, they're right. You go right past them on the way to baggage claim. What the heck?
Oh, the NFL. The decisions they make. You know, it's a big dollar business, and a lot of times it makes you wonder how exactly they envisioned this a while back, if this is really what they thought this was going to end up looking like.
My opinion, I think the last 15 months for them kind of spiraled out of control a bit. The Ram thing, okay, you know, you can see the Ram thing, but I think that what happened with the Chargers and the Raiders, I think they lost control of that.
Yeah, the fact that all three of them, you know, the situations they were in, and we've seen this a ton recently, the amount of owners that just basically said, give us a new stadium or else, the fact that Los Angeles' market got saturated very, very quickly. I mean, within, you know, not even a calendar year, you had two teams moving in there, and you got one of them now that's going to play in a soccer stadium, which I find to be the most hilariously ironic thing ever. You want the Los Angeles market so badly, you want a stadium, you're going to play in what's really an inferior sport in the United States, at a stadium that's half the size of your average NFL stadium is. You really want out that badly. you're making your intentions clear then, if that's what you want. You're all about the market. All right, I understand that, but now Vegas, that goes in a complete opposite direction. You know, there is no market there. We've talked about this before too. That's barely a backdrop sport in that town. People go there to watch like the entire league and to bet on it. Obviously, we would assume at least, and I guess don't quote me on this, but I would imagine the NFL would not want any type of gambling devices inside the stadium there.
Right.
But who knows? it's bizarre how close they would get something that they've stayed away from for this long. What is it about the Raiders now that made Las Vegas that much more attractive? Why did this change so much, and why are they separating from what they've clearly established to be their, you know, some of their core values throughout the history of the league, at least, well, I should say more organized history of the league. Putting all that together, the move really is just kind of bizarre, and overall it's just not the league is not moving in the same direction, I think, than what they had hoped that it would be under Tagliabue into Goodell. I think right. It's falling off in a lot of ways, and the ratings are showing that. Now that the decisions they're making at a big business level are it's going to put fans off. They're not going to be real happy with this for a while.
And the Raiders are getting crushed, so I'm going to get out of the concourse and put everything on red. All right.
I'm not betting on black. Can't win on the field. I'm not doing this.
That's it. Neil, thanks. Look forward to next week.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Neil Coulong. We'll come back with more in a moment. Donnie Collins on Penn State football final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, guess what day it is?
Tuesday.
No, it's Hyundai. Remember? Hyundai.
Who are these guys?
Just listen. It's a Hyundai spring cleaning sales event going on right now at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. You're getting the lowest prices of the year without all the gimmicks or the fine print. Today, Hyundai. Save over $8,500 on a new 2017 Hyundai Sonata Limited. Or save over $4,700 on a new 2017 Hyundai Elantra Limited. Save over $4,250 on a new Tucson Ultimate Limited. Over 80 new Hyundais available with big value with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. This sale is only for a limited time, so get your Hyundai today. Only at your home for Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And online at sunburyhyundai.com, where today is Hyundai. Tax and tax extra, all rebates to dealer. Shop early for best selection. See dealer for complete details.
When you have said thousands of words on the air, you'll make proclamations sometimes that, especially over 30 years, that people will remember and put together a list. Well, Mel Kiper is in that spot. Mel Kiper's draft in 1998. The number one player in the draft was Andre Wadsworth, a defensive end from Florida State. Some guy named Peyton Manning was third. Charles Woodson was second. Gave the Seahawks 2012 draft a C-. They picked Bruce Irvin, Bobby Wagner, and Russell Wilson. He had NFL draft bust Dan McGuire and Hall of Famer Brett Favre rated even among quarterback prospects in 1981. Chris Spielman, a fourth or fifth round pick, ended up being picked 29th overall in 88. But according to this writer, let's give the writer credit. Again, when you said thousands of words, this happened. Jim Weber wrote this. Number 10, he rated LaDainian Tomlinson tied for the 25th best player in the 2001 draft. He'll be in Canton. Said 1997th overall pick Andre Ware would be an excellent NFL quarterback. Ranked Aaron Curry the top overall prospect in the 2009 draft. He rated him ahead of Matthew Stafford, Brian Cushing, Clay Matthews, LeSean McCoy. I don't think so. Number 7. Said 1999 third overall pick Akili Smith would be a great NFL player. Number 6, proclaimed Johnny Manziel would be 2014's number one overall pick. Number 5, predicted that Ricky Stanzi would have the best career in the class of 2011. Said 1998 second overall pick Ryan Leaf's attitude would be an asset in the NFL. Oh, boy. Number 3, said Jamarcus Russell could be a top 5 NFL quarterback and was John Elway-like at the 2007 NFL draft. Now remember, he has said millions of words in 30 years. Predicted that 2005 10th overall pick Mike Williams would be a Hall of Famer. Oh, boy. And number 1, promised in 2010 to retire in 8 years if Jimmy Clausen was not a successful NFL quarterback. Said, quote, if Jimmy Clausen's not a successful quarterback in the NFL, I'm done. That's it. I'm out. Todd McShay, what is your time frame, Mel? When do we make that assessment? Kiper, I want 8 years. Uh-oh. That would mean this is the last year. Now, he has said millions of words and has been right about so many things over the years. Now, when you say that many words, make that many predictions, not all of them will bring with them a bouquet of flowers. This is not going to happen. And as you know, I've been, for a long time, been bigger on what Mike Mayock does, but that is a personal preference.
I don't know how he does it. He just does a phenomenal job of prep work.
Well, it's film, film, film. He's down eating, and then he goes to workouts. He goes to combines. He throws his heart and soul into the thing. He really does. And to be honest with you, when he is an analyst on a game, I think he's a terrific analyst on a game. I'm surprised he's not doing exponentially more. I mean, I know he's hooked in with the NFL Network, but I'm just surprised he's not hooked in doing more.
NBC Sports was smart a few years ago, putting him on Notre Dame football there for a while.
Yeah, but he should be full-time. I mean, now he has the makings of to me, a number one guy. Because he just knows the game. But, you know, sometimes I look at the game differently than other people. And I understand that. I do understand that. Final half hour, Donnie Collins. We're going to talk Penn State football. Blue White game is coming up a week from Saturday at Beaver Stadium. You'll hear it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and the Penn State Sports Network. I talked to Mr. Hamm today. Wanted me to tell you hi, Sean. Wanted to know where the suit was working.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Donnie Collins in just a few moments. The sports bozo, and it's not going to be sports, but the bozo of the day. Last I checked, United Airlines is not a sponsor. I mean, can you believe? Now, for those who don't know the situation, is airlines will take crews and put them on flights and get them to the location they need to be so they can get the next flight going at that location. Well, United needed four spots on their flight. What was it, Chicago to Louisville, Sean? Does that sound right? Because they had a flight, this four-person flight crew had to be part of a flight that would start in Louisville and go someplace else.
Yeah, it was a gentleman, it was a doctor that needed to get back to Chicago on a flight on Sunday night, yes, in his 60s.
Right, well, but the flight crew they were taking to a location. From Louisville to Chicago, something like that.
Turns out one too many people booked on the plane.
Well, they needed four people to leave, and three left.
I heard some people were even offered. They were on the intercom. It's like they kept 800. Who wants $800? Take a different flight. But yeah, it took a while for people to hop off.
Yeah, but you know what though? I realize that Donald Trump wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. And in The Art of the Deal, he talks about when you're the CEO of a major corporation, you don't apologize. In other words, you don't admit either you did something wrong or weakness or whatever. But you know what? That is something that is a little bit different in today's era. Why? What's different in today's era is this. It's your phone. It's the camera in your phone. The camera in the phone allows you to take pictures and allows you to take video. And everybody has one of those. Would we really know too much about this in the era before the phone? But now when you can see it, and you see the blood and how graphic they were in dragging him off the plane, I think it becomes a different proposition. I mean, if I'm United Airlines, I'm looking at him, I'm saying, hey, look, man, your next 20 round-trip flights, they're on us, and they're in first class. No, I can say that. I don't run the airline, so I could throw out any arbitrary number I want. But I'd make that offer. I'd make that offer
to
them.
But as a person who does a lot of flying like you do, I mean, you've been there, done that for many, many years, and you know the ins and outs as to how it works.
Well, I mean, I've been on flights like that. I was on a flight from Denver to Casper, Wyoming, and they needed three people to leave. And the flight attendant gets up there, and she says, look, we're going to offer you. Now, Continental doesn't exist as an airline anymore. In fact, most of the places I talk about in my stories don't exist anymore.
Did an attendant or someone from an airline specifically come up to you and offered you a dollar figure to take a different flight?
They offered, in general, everybody on the plane $250 in Continental flight incentives. One person took it. So there's still two remaining. Okay. Well, nobody volunteered. So she said, well, that's it. We're just picking two people. Well, she picked Dave Deggetts and Freddie Barnes from the Penn State basketball team. So Bruce Parkhill was the coach at that time. He says, well, actually, we have a game tomorrow. So, and they're like, all right, everyone from the basketball team is exempt. Okay. So then she picked two other guys. One guy is absolutely not happy at all. But then the other guy, he's furious. He takes his fist and he pounds it on the headrest in front of him. He says, what? I'm not getting off this plane. And she says, sir, we're offering you $250 in Continental flight incentives. He goes, well, make it $2,500. I'll do a car wheel. She calls security. Security comes on board, and they haul him off the plane. Now, I'm sitting in the very last row. I'm in the very last row. And we fly from Denver and get into Casper, and there's no jetway at the Casper Airport at that time. And this was also a rear exit jet. So I'm one of the first two, three people off the plane. So I get off the plane, I walk across the tarmac, I go in, I go to baggage claim. And there's this woman standing at baggage claim. And she looks at me and she says, were you on the flight from Denver? And I said, yes, I was. She says, okay, good. Well, I'm here to pick up my dog. And I said, oh. And I started to think, oh, geez, where's this going? She says, my fiancé, Tim, was on the flight, and they threw him off the flight because of some stupid basketball team. I looked at her, and I said, I recall the incident. So I was still standing there waiting for the carousel to start, and she cools down just a little bit, and she says, so are you here in Casper visiting family? Is it business, work-related? I said, it's work-related. She says, oh, what do you do? I says, oh, I'm with the stupid basketball team.
I was going to ask you if you had any blue and white.
To which she could only laugh. I mean, there's nothing left she could do but laugh. All right, let's bring in Donnie Collins. Hey, Donnie, so far in the interviews you conducted and so forth, what's a recurring theme you're getting from this football team?
Yeah, they're going to be. They think they're going to be really good, and that's. I mean, that's what they said all along. I haven't heard much different, really, than you know we've heard in years past. Other than this year, you believe it because you saw it on the field last year, especially as that season went on. That team was one of the best teams in the nation. They think they're going to be that again. They have some obstacles to overcome, but yeah, I think you know I tend to believe these guys a little more this year. I tend to believe that Juwan Johnson's really going to be a star player because you know he's having a good camp, and camp's more competitive because they have more good players. And you know there's just an excitement, I think, not only with the fans and the coaching staff but the players that this is going to be a season for you know where a lot of goals could be achieved.
Do you sense that? I mean, this is now the fourth year of this program. What's your sense on the legitimacy of every guy being on the same page with the staff? Because now, really, with a couple of exceptions, they've recruited everybody on this team.
Yeah, this is why. Last couple of years, we've heard the talk with the fans who want Franklin out, the reporters who think Franklin's not doing a great job. Well, this is why you don't criticize a coach until he's got his players involved.
That's right.
This is the exact reason. He could recruit, but he can't coach. Oh, really? But he's not playing the guys he recruited. Now he is, and look what's happening with Saquon Barkley. Pretty good. Trace McSorley. Yeah, he doesn't have the physical attributes of a Christian Hackenberg, but he fits the system, and the system is really good. And Franklin made some really good assistant coaching hires when he had to. Joe Moorhead. So I think when you combine it all, this is a program, and it's really in its infancy, I would say. I mean, this is the first 4 years, like you said, of the of the staff. This is mostly the team that they envision being on the field, and they're playing very well. So to me, this is a shining example of why you don't hire a coach and fire him after a year or two. You bring them in, you be patient, and good things will happen. Now, do they happen this fast for most programs? No, but that shows what kind of talent that these guys have been able to bring in. I mean, they have. I think really you can. It's hard to imagine this 5 years ago. I think they have a star player at every level, every position.
Which is real. That's an interesting point because Jack Hamm and I were talking earlier today, and we were talking about the upper part of the Eastern Division. And I said to Jack, I said, I think it's really important that, and this was my opinion, that of the four teams that would make up the upper part of the Eastern Division, you can argue, I thought, Penn State has the best player and might have the best quarterback.
Well, I would say that, unless you're going to argue that JT Barrett's a better quarterback than McSorley, but I don't. It's a very difficult argument to make, I think. McSorley can get the ball downfield, JT Barrett can't. McSorley, I think, is a... Barrett's a great leader, don't get me wrong, he's a great player, but that's what I think of McSorley. I think he's a great leader, great runner, great thrower, just great all-around player, and I would agree with that, and I think they're the best quarterback in the conference. Best player is Barkley, obviously. They have an offensive line that's really potentially very good. And I think on defense, Cabinda, show me a more productive linebacker in the league, a more important guy who when he's on the field makes a bigger difference than Cabinda does. I think he's a terrific player. Marcus Allen, maybe the best safety in the league now. This team is stacked. There's just no doubt about it. And that's why they're so excited.
Which I'll then bring up this part. Cabinda at linebacker, I think you and I would both say that's a good athlete playing middle linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
It's my opinion, though, that of the three linebackers, in terms of athleticism, he's number three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was definitely the least highly recruited of the three guys. And honestly, if you want to really get technical about it, you can go down the list and, guys who were... Just basing it on pure athleticism, Cabinda might be six or seven. But that said, he's a productive player, knows the mm-hmm. system, and really, with Naeem getting hurt in 2015, it really forced Cabinda to become a better player and to put him on the field and learn the system and become a leader. And I think. I'll say this. I'm not sure there's a better leader in the conference than Cabinda.
Right. You could see in the Ohio State game, when he came back in the Ohio State game, you could tell just in terms of vocally and the way he was moving people around in defense, he made a huge difference in that game.
Oh, yeah. He and Bell were, I think, the two uh-huh. The two guys who really pushed Penn State over the top down the stretch. I mean, there's other players who made a big impact on the team all year. But I think down the when they made the jump from, they're an okay Big Ten team to, hey, wait a second, they're beating everybody, it was Cabinda and Bell, I think, that really picked up their game. But yeah, they have guys all over the place who can really play and know the system now. And I think that's it's true a little bit of Marcus Allen too. He's a guy they always talk about as a guy who can rally the defense. They play hard around him, and he gets everybody in the right spots. And that's important for a safety and a linebacker too. And one of the things that I love that this coaching staff says is they're good up the middle. It's just like baseball. You have to be really good catcher, second base, shortstop, center field. You're good up the middle. You're a good baseball team. All these guys are good up the middle on defense.
this is also Brent Pry, last year, first-year defensive coordinator. Joe Moorhead, first-year offensive coordinator. Matt Limegrover, first year with the program, offensive line coach. Tim Banks, first time with the program at safeties. When you're talking about two new coaches in those spots coming in and two new coordinators, which have their own way and their own language, what do you think the difference can be that it's the second year of it and not having to go through the learning curve of the first?
I think it's going to be huge, and especially on defense. I mean, it makes sense they'll be better on offense because they do have that second year in the system. But yeah, I'm not sure how much better the offense statistically can be. Defensively, I think they could be better. I think they will be better. And Pry, I think that's where they really got better last season as it went on. They were able to stop good teams when it mattered. Ohio State, you know, definitely Wisconsin, you know, teams like that. When it mattered, they were able to come up with big stops. Well, I think this year, I think the natural progression with that, knowing the system and Brent Pry being a little bit more, you know, in tune with what he wants to do, play calling wise, more comfortable with the personnel, I think they'll be able to stop some teams before they get to the spot where it's a big situation. You have to get the stop. I think they'll be much more dominant on defense. And I know they lost a couple of really good rush ends, but
no doubt.
But I think and a really good outside linebacker in Bell, but and Reed. But I think they'll be better.
Donnie, it's always a pleasure. Great to hear from you.
Same here, Steve.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. We'll wrap up the broadcast show of champions in a moment. No, we'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. 11 days to go before the Blue-White game at Beaver Stadium at 3 o'clock. Day like today, I would expect a huge crowd. So we're looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun. I think it's always a fun day. Weather's really nice. Sean's out there violating several different laws. Like, Sean, I don't think they want you to do that, but, you know. You really have a carefree attitude about life.
Yeah, well, I'm not the lawbreaker that I used to be. Then again, yeah, whole PennDOT Easy Pass thing, that was, you know, that opened up another can last week, but that's not.
Well, I know. I'm sick of having radiothons to bail you out. And I'd like to do the show. I mean, I have guests. I can't keep stopping and saying, call 1-800-BAIL-OUT-SEAN now. I mean, I can't keep doing that. And I want to thank the audience. They've been very generous over the years.
Now, you won't find a lot of parking tickets or anything in the glove box. Nothing like that.
What was it? Jim Carrey, Liar, Liar. I've got unpaid parking tickets. Thousands of them. It's like, okay.
Yeah, there was a time or two where I was probably a little late getting the books back to the library, but that was because I just needed the jump start to start reading them. That was the kicker.
Well, you could take the approach of somebody else in the station. Don't you know who I am? Why, yes, senior suit. We do. That's why we pulled you over. Okay. Well, the Yankees are worth $3.78 billion. That's with a B. 23 Major League Baseball teams are worth $1 billion or more. 23 of them out of 30. That's impressive and shows the health of baseball in a different light. Because so often we hear, what about how many people are at the ballpark? What about the TV ratings? What about this? Well, when the value of your entity goes up 19% in a year, that's a different ballgame. And we're talking about this being an $8 to $9 billion industry. I think the NFL's up to 14 now. And the goal for the NFL is to get to $25 billion a year. But if you're making it as an industry, if you're an $8 to $9 billion industry, which baseball is, you're not in that bad of shape. And I think it's also interesting that in this era where we hear so much about the NBA, and there's no doubt that the value of an NBA franchise has gone up dramatically in the last 10 years. But the average baseball franchise is worth $1.54 billion, and the average NBA franchise is worth $1.3 billion. Both very healthy. But baseball, the value of a baseball franchise is still more than a basketball franchise. All right, more coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.